Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
We are joining some 801 churches in Singapore to pray. Now, aligning to that, Covenant wants to do a mini pulpit series entitled Disciples Singapore. And that's going to go on for 5 Sundays. And so we're taking a pause on the book of Leviticus so that we can focus on this subject of Disciples Singapore. And today's sermon topic is entitled Pray for the Land. And we'll be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Now, I'd like to invite all of us, could you please take out your handphone, please, all right? Because what we're going to do at the start is we're going to do a pigeonhole together, all right? So if you can scan this QR code to participate, that'd be great, because if you sit in the front rows, you'll be able to take the QR code. If not, put into your internet browser pigeonhole.at. Pigeonhole.at. Type in the password. Pray, please. Then you will see 5 questions and answer just 1 to 5. And the first question is, in my prayers, I ask God for something. Now you see a scale there, 1 to 5, 1 equals never and 5 equals always. So we can see here that most of us, we are praying for something. There's no one that doesn't pray for something, all right? And so we look there, the average is 5.14, that is kind of like almost always, and then of course always, all right? So we get an idea there just from answering this. Let's go to the second question, please. The second question is, in my prayers, I intentionally listen to God. And we can see that the scale's kind of tipping a little bit, right? We see that not many of us are listening to God always. There's some of us, but on average, there's kind of occasionally we are listening to God in our prayers, about 45.8. Something for us to note here, that our prayers may be a lot of talking to God, but not a lot of listening to God. Okay, we captured that, yeah? Okay, let's go to the third question, please. The third question is, in my prayers, I give thanks to God. And we can see a rise here in the scale. Most of us are almost giving thanks to God, and then some of us are always giving thanks to God in our prayers. Now, perhaps this could equal giving thanks for food. Grace, huh? Maybe there are other things, I don't know. Only God knows what you're praying to Him. But we can see, yeah, okay, we are giving thanks to God. Right, so this gives us a good idea. Okay, finally, it's the fourth question, all right? In my prayers, I intercede for the loved ones. Now, here's interesting enough, there's some of us seldom do it, occasionally do it, and some almost always, and then always. Right, so we lean towards this, and maybe I have a guess here. Maybe we're answering like this because many of us sitting here have aging parents, and we're concerned for them. So we pray for them, to get well. There could be a loved one close to us that we pray for. Right? But it's possible it's to do with our aging parents or perhaps your child to come to know the Lord. Okay, finally, last question, number 5. In my prayers, I intercede for national leaders. Now we see the scale really tipped. So almost never. Now perhaps sometime this year there's an election, maybe the scale goes up. I don't know lah. But isn't it interesting that we are mainly praying for ourselves, our needs, our desires, and our loved ones. Talking a lot to God, not so much listening, and nothing else above that. So today the sermon title is Pray for the Land, Disciple Singapore. As we look into that, we want to look at a passage of Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Now, before I read out this particular passage, I want to set it up for us, the context behind it. It's important. You see, Paul is writing to younger Timothy, and he's concerned about one thing. It's false teaching within the church. In other words, there are people coming along, and they're distorting the truth of the gospel. And towards the end of chapter 1, Paul writes, there are some people who have shipwrecked their faith. Now, this picture of shipwrecked is very appropriate, because in the ancient times, when they were navigating their ships in the sea, they looked at the stars, and they followed the light to the land. But what happens in a shipwreck is they go off course, they veer off course, and then they hit a shipwreck. In much the same way, there are people who follow distorted truth, false teachers. They didn't follow and align to God's will, and they got shipwrecked in their faith. And so Paul then addresses this, what should we do to avoid being shipwrecked? And he says these words in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that they may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice here that when we say shipwreck faith, avoid it. He didn't say, then go preach the gospel and all that. No, he says the first thing, the urgent need, is to pray. Now, the word here that Paul uses is, I urge you, parakaleo, in Greek. There's two parts to it. Para means to come alongside, and kaleo means to call. In other words, picture Paul coming to Timothy and says, I'm urging you on. I'm begging you. Listen, this is urgent. This is your highest priority, is to pray. All kinds of prayers. Supplication, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving. Now, in the modern church today, we kind of interchange these things and they all sound like the same. But they all have a different emphasis in prayer. Supplication is to plea or cry out to God in humble submission to the Almighty God. Prayers is to humbly approach God to have an intimate, heart-to-heart conversation. Intercession is to humbly present requests on behalf of others to God, and thanksgiving is an expression of our gratitude toward Almighty God. Now, you'll notice a pattern here. There's a posture of prayer, humility, humbleness to God. Now, in our prayer system, in our survey, there's a lot of talking to God. There's a lot of asking of God for our personal things. In our prayers, are we demanding of God? In our prayers, are we only talking? Are we listening? Is it heart-to-heart or is it transactional? Now, this passage of Scripture is not the only passage that talks about prayer. There are many others. And to get a deeper meaning of prayer, we want to look at another passage of Scripture that helps us understand the posture of prayer. And that is found in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to capture the posture of prayer. It starts off by saying, Our Father in heaven. Now, we all have earthly fathers. I wonder how many of us come up to our father and demand things from him, like money or possessions. When I was very young, when I was 13 years of age, I told my dad, I have the right for this, I have the right for that, and I tell you, I gonna. In other words, I got it from him. Because I didn't show respect. Now think along with me. This is not just an earthly father, this is our heavenly divine father. We come to him as a child of God, and we are this small to the Almighty God who created the universe. We come in humility. It says, hallowed be your name. In other words, holy is the name of the Lord. Most holy, set apart, without sin. We come in fear and trembling before Him in our sin. Can you see the posture of fear and trembling and reverence? Notice it says, your kingdom, not my little castle, come. My will be done on earth and in Singapore. It is your kingdom. We come before a holy, almighty King, the King of Kings. And we ask that His will be done. His kingdom come. Now, as you listen to this, it sounds vaguely familiar to some of us. It sounds very much like the book of Leviticus. Remember the tabernacle? And how the priests will go into the outer courts in fear and trembling and offer sacrifices to say, Lord, forgive us. And the priests will go into the inner court to represent the people of Israel and shaking and trembling and reverence and awe of this Almighty God as He descends as a cloud onto the tabernacle, representing His presence amongst His people, want to live amongst His people, His presence right in dead center in the camp of Israel. And as He entered into the holy presence of God, there's the table of bread, the candle, and an altar where they would offer intercession, prayers on behalf of the people. And there, give thanks that God provided daily His bread, His presence. And there, asking for forgiveness, repentance. Capture the posture of prayer in the Lord's Prayer. And so as we are called to offer supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving, we come with this posture of humility, submissiveness, reverence, repentance. And we don't come demanding and talking, and we come listening to God through His Word that He presents to us. We meditate on it. We say, Lord, let it breathe through our life. Let it make sense through our lives. It's an intimate conversation, just like how the priest was with the Lord in the temple. It's having a heart-to-heart with God, based on His kingdom and His will, not ours. But you see, you and I, we are faced in the modern church with a problem. It's our motivation behind our prayers. So think along with me this. We have a motivation behind our prayers, and often these motivations are cradled by or supported by our purpose in life. So let's just say, for example, my purpose in life is to look good and feel good. So I want to look good, I want to feel good. Well, I have certain choices that I have to make in life to look good and feel good. These choices are my lifestyle. Now, when we think of lifestyle, we think of fashion, what we eat, where we go, where we hang, where we travel to. So for me, I like to look very Taiwan. So I kind of walk around, you know, wear dress and t-shirt and shorts. I don't need to dress up all sharp, but some of you, you want to look sharp. You want to look good. You want to be able to flip your hair and look great, you know, right? And so because of that, you need certain finances to support your lifestyle. And to do that, you need a good job and get into the right course to be able to support that and have relationships that you can do all these things with. And then this sort of purpose can also determine the types of prayers we pray. Oh Lord, help me get into the right course at university so that I can have the right job for me, God. And I have the best life partner for me. We can go to the Maldives together every year. And Lord, keep me good, looking good and healthy. Now, for some of us, we think, okay, what? What's wrong with this, what? Everyone praying the same thing, what? Isn't this the church today, what? But my question is this of God? Is this the biblical way of praying? Perhaps this is inadequate, it's incomplete. Where is the posture of our prayer? Where is His will be done, His kingdom come? See, the foundation of our prayers is it's God-centered, not self-centered. It's about His kingdom, not our little castles. It's about His will, not our desire. His heart, and not ours. And what is His heart, as indicated in 1 Timothy chapter 2? His heart is this, that God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. That is His heart. Are we praying His heart that all peoples come to know the Lord? Is our prayer centered around this purpose of our lives, of the church, or our own little life purpose? So when Paul says, there's something urgent I've got to tell you, to avoid shipwrecking your faith, you need to pray. He says, you need to pray for all people. In other words, offer up supplication, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving for all people, including yourself, but all peoples, includes the person you don't get along with at work, includes the meatpok seller that sells your meatpok, that doesn't put enough meatpok ta inside there or whatever it is, and you don't like the person, but you've got to pray for him. Not so he puts more noodles in there for you or more oil or sauce in there for you, but he will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. This is what it means to pray for all people. It is praying the heart of God. This is His heart for His people, to bring the gospel. He entrusts this to the church so that it goes out into the nations, starting with our nation here in Singapore. It is to pray beyond ourselves so that we know that life is not about us, but it's about His kingdom. It's developing a heart for others and the compassion and empathy for others. And you may ask yourself, how? A couple of years ago, when I take the MRT to work at 7:30 in the morning, you know how it is, if you take the MRT ever, at 7:30 in the morning, what's everyone doing in there? They're looking at their phones. Notice, everyone of all ages, not just teenagers, but those dressed in very nice suits are going to work. They're trying to kill don't know which person from which kingdom on their games. And there are women all dressed up, all dolled up for work, and they're trying to figure out, is Song Sang-sing on the Korean drama going to marry Sang Song-sung? And some of them are tearing because they're so worried that Sang Sang-sung will marry Sang Sang-si. Imagine our whole lives is like this. I was very convicted to start praying on the train, put away my phone, and start praying for people. It was a bit awkward at first because I wasn't sure should I open my eyes, close my eyes, and you know, the train's rocking. But there and then I realized that I shouldn't judge. I would just pray. And the Lord revealed the lostness of people's souls, scrolling through their phones, searching for purpose and entertainment, but finding it's all empty inside. Doesn't matter how successful they are, which country they're from, there's the lostness of the soul. Some of us, we drive to work. You may be wondering, how do I pray for people? Well, it's always jammed, huh? On the radio, on the PIE today, exit at Stevens Road, it's jammed all the way to Bedok. So what can we do in the car while we wait there? Wonder whether Biden or Trump's going to win and get all upset about it? Or rather say, shall I just switch off the radio and start praying for that driver, that passenger, that busload of people, that lorry filled with migrant workers? Pray. Pray. And begin to hear the heart of God for many people. And what is this place that we see on screen? Everyone say it, 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. That's great. It's not sure which language that was. is sengkang. In case you don't know, it means you haven't been there. Oh, okay, never mind. God forgives you. Now, there are many covenanters from across our three centers, Bukit Panjang, Woodlands, and even here at East, going there to pray. Yesterday, I met someone who lives in Sengkang, something like an event I had in the afternoon. So they live there. I said, oh, your block is featured in our prayer walk. He said, yeah. Sometimes I see covenanters walking around there. Now, what do we do when we go there? Pray? Pray for the building, the structure, the price of the land? What are we praying for? Are we praying that this new church that we're going to build there is just all for ourselves and we're going to enjoy it until the Lord comes again? No, we are praying for the residents there. We are praying that they will come to know the Lord Jesus, that task you rise seller will come to know the Lord, that teacher in that primary school will come to know the Lord, that the people of God will gather not just to build a home with nice curtains inside and beautiful carpets and great sound system, but this would be a sending base for us to go out into the community and tell them that the Lord loves them, that the gospel of God is true, and it will save us if we believe in Him and walk in Him and love Him and worship Him. When we go into Sengkang, we must hear the heartbeat of God. And His heartbeat for our church has always been for the last 5 to 7 years to build a church without walls. When we look at Bukit Panjang and their additions and alterations, the A&A, we pray that Bukit Panjang will become a church without walls. When we think of Woodland Center, we think of how can we make it a church without walls. It's not just a borderless church. It's the Christians, the believers, the disciple makers going out into the community and bring them to Christ. We must have vision, compelling vision, and belief and courage in it. When I think of how much we have to raise for Sengkang, we went to the AGM, we said 40 million. We go by faith, 40 million. In this financial time where there's high inflation, 40 million we will raise. Okay, we will raise 40 million. Then what? Think along with me. $1 equals one soul. If we all can, that $1, it means one soul. It means $40 million equals 40 million souls won for Christ. Then you may think, well, 40 million souls, how do we do that? Sengkang population is 250,000 people. If all 1,000 of us won one person to Christ, that's 2,000 people. They in turn then bring someone, their neighbor or someone to Christ, that's 4,000 people. And from 4,000 to 8,000, 8,000 to 16,000, you can understand the multiplication effect of disciple making. That's what covenant is all about. And we say, well, hang on a minute. What if all are one for Jesus Christ in Singapore? That's 5 to 6 million people. That is why Covenant and the Church of Singapore has been called to be an Antioch of Asia, because the gospel needs to go out beyond the shores of Singapore to the distant lands. That's how you get 40 million souls. That's the vision of Sengkang. We must not miss this. We give to His heart and His purpose for His people. Paul goes on to say that we pray for all in high position, for kings. Kings referring to Caesar. Now notice the Apostle Paul doesn't write pray to Caesar. He says pray for Caesar. Why is that important? Well, Caesar was in the Roman Empire. They considered Caesar like a god. And they would pray to him. But here the scripture says pray for him. Pray for all those in authority. Why? If you have your Bibles there, you can look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says that offer all these prayers, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Peaceful and quiet. Now, what is Paul saying here? Quiet life, P peaceful life? Are we going to live by the River Thames in London and sip Twinings the whole day and live a very quaint and peaceful life together? Wouldn't that be lovely? And then, to signify the peace of God, a dove will flutter in and sit at my windowsill and say, "The peace of God that transcends all understanding." Lovely picture. Beautiful. Anyone like a cup of tea? Top of the morning? This is what it's referring to. The word quiet life in the Greek refers to restedness of heart. But in our society today, in our modern church, we're very restless, running around, rushing around, doing things, building our material wealth, occupying our time, forgetting about the purpose God has given to us. It is not about a heart that wrestles. It's a heart that is not settled. It's about a heart that is secure in Him. And when we believe in the security of God, when we understand Him, we will know that He will provide. Give us this day our daily bread. We have nothing to worry about. We can live secure that He will provide. He is more than enough. Our narrative in Singapore is that we'll never be satisfied, we'll never be enough, we'll never have enough, but God has paid it all on the cross. And why? Why this godly life? Well, so that we avoid a corrupted life. Think along with me about governments where there's corruption. Their society will also have corruption. That becomes normalized to put money under the table. You take that even a step further. When there's corruption, sometimes there's fighting. Starts on the streets with gangs and extends into militia groups. And then there's killing. And in those environments, the gospel cannot prosper. They cannot advance. So why do we pray for those in high positions? So that the gospel can advance. It can prosper. This is the heart of God, that all be saved. I wonder how many of us find this picture very familiar and you were at the JDOP a few years ago. Could you please raise your hand if you were there? Come, let's raise that. There's quite a few of us, yeah? At this time when former Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong was being prayed for, and we sang the anointing benediction, I was in a dugout at the National Stadium because our youth were going to run around the whole stadium with flags, like bear flags. So I was quite close to this. I could see him from where I was. I could see him visibly moved. Of course, this image appeared on this big Jumbotron screen, right? Couldn't miss it. I reckon there wasn't a dry eye that day. I reckon there were people praying. And this is not being pro-government, by the way. This is praying for the government. Now, you think along, therefore, isn't it interesting that Singapore is so secure, so successful, so prosperous, that governance is excellent here? And why isn't the gospel prospering? Why are we stagnating? What has happened to His church? Perhaps we've become so self-absorbed. Our prayers have become so self-centered. And just like what the Apostle Paul was concerned about, was shipwrecking our faith, going off course, skewing from what is truly prayer. Perhaps some of us have gone there. That we're no longer praying kingdom-centered prayers, God-centered prayers, but we're praying self-centered prayers and castle-making prayers. You see, all that's said and done, God's heart for His church and for the nations around the world, including Singapore, is that all people are to be saved. It started off by Paul making this urgent plea to Timothy. Don't shipwreck your faith, but rather offer supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving to all people, including ourselves, to all in high positions, so that the heart of God is prayed over and that all people are saved. So therefore, what should be the motivation behind our prayers? It is to live out God's will and save souls and make disciples. And this will determine our choices, our lifestyle, our finances, what we invest in, and the studies that we pursue, and the employment that we want to take, and the relationships that we want to build, is so that we collectively together can pray these sort of prayers, that the job, that the course I go to, that the life partner I choose will help advance the gospel, that I want to be fit and healthy for the Lord so that the gospel can be advanced. This is what it's for. I've met some young people recently and they tell me that they want to be a doctor so that they can be sent out into the mission field. I've met people who want to be engineers because they want to build and help other people in their countries to build so that the gospel can prosper. I've met someone who is in a midlife transition and moving from jobs so that the gospel can prosper. I went to a wedding last night and heard the testimony of two young people who have met one another so that the gospel can prosper. The gospel prosper through your life. What are you investing in your life? What are you praying for in your life? Is it just myself? So that His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To trust Him that inside you can live that quiet life of restedness in Him, that He will give us all that we need, that we are totally satisfied in Him, and that we must come in humble repentance and say, Lord, would You help me live the life that You call us to? Perhaps praying for others is not natural to us. So I want to teach us something. It's called the five-finger prayer. Now this is, or the hand prayer. So I'm going to teach us to this and we're going to practice this together. Now you may have seen it before, but I'd like us to remember what it's like. So I know some of you want to take photos of this. That's great. So I'm going to do that for a bit. Let you take a photo so you can remember it. Then, what I'd like us all to do is hold out our hands like this. Can we all do that? Very simple. And hold out your thumb, please. Right, all thumb. Thumbs up. Best. Yeah. Number one. Number one, the thumb means to pray for people closest to you in your family, because family comes first. This is what you pray. Second is your pointing finger. Put out your second finger like that and point it like a gun. You can point it at me if you want. And this is your pointing finger. And it's praying for people who point you in the right direction, like a teacher, a coach, a mentor, a boss, a parent. Then three fingers up like this, and just wiggle your tallest finger. And this is to pray for people in high positions, for example, the government, so the gospel can prosper. Now the tricky one, four fingers like this. This is your ring finger. And it's to pray for people in need like rough sleepers. And finally, your pinky comes up. This is who you pray for last. The last person you pray for is yourself. To consecrate yourself to align to His will and that His will be done through you. Very simple. Shouldn't take you more than 3-4 minutes just to get through this. I'd like us to practice this right now in response to God. Word. What we're going to do is for 1 minute, I'm going to give you time to listen to God through His Word by just meditating on 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 4. And after 1 minute of silence and meditation, I'm going to get you to pray these five prayers for 3 minutes. As you do so, I pray that no one falls asleep, but we'll all pray. Can we do this? So for 1 minute, Can I get us to just read this quietly and let the Lord speak to you and you listen? And then I'll switch slides to the five-finger prayer. Lord, you hear our prayers. You receive these prayers. We come to you with that humble posture, reverence, repentance. Help us, Lord, to grow in prayer so that we are found praying for your kingdom come and that your will be done. Help us, Lord, to have vision much larger than ourselves, your vision, to own it and live it, to have compassion and empathy for others, and to feel the need of the gospel around the world, spreading across from Sengkang and Bukit Panjang and Woodlands into places like Punggol, Bedok, Pasir Ris, Jurong West, and out into Malaysia and Indonesia, to Vietnam, Cambodia, to China, to Australia, to America, to the ends of the earth. Pray, Lord, that we pray, God, that our sending capacity be much greater than our seating capacity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you were able to pray that 3 minutes without falling asleep? Could you please raise your hand? Just very humbly there. There you go. Isn't that hard? Not hard to pray for others. You're more than welcome to use this. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And we're going to be singing a song of response. Now, before you stand, allow me to give quick background to this song. This song we're going to sing is called All the Heavens. And there's a man that I know that knew that he loved this song very much. Almost every occasion we would have a kind of a service or gathering or conference, he would want to sing this song. And one day I asked him, why do you want to keep singing this song? And he says, that I love this line that says, let your face shine on us that the world may know that you live. To be a reflector of God's glory. His dream is to see all the nations worshiping this glorious God. This man's name is Joseph Chen. Joseph Chen is a friend of mine who passed away last year. And it was his desire that all people come to know the Lord. This song is a song that must be sung with heart. The other day, I was at a building com meeting. And one of the people that worships at Bukit Panjang said that just sense that covenant lacks heart. Can I invite us when we sing this song, we sing with heart, belief, desire to see His kingdom come and that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That all peoples will come to know the Lord. That Singapore will fulfill her destiny to be an Antioch of Asia. That the nations will sing the glorious name of Jesus. Shall we stand? This song begins by singing, holy, holy are you, Lord. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Let the nations give honor and praise to your name. As we sing this, invite us all, lift up your hands to the Lord. For He is holy. And
holy, holy are you, Lord.
The whole earth is filled.
The whole earth is filled with your glory.
Let the nations rise.
Let the nations rise to give
honor and praise.
Honor and to your praise to your name.
Face.
Let
You know, in the modern church today, we struggle with these things and we think it's all about us. But listen to the words of this song. Let your face shine on us so that the world will know that you live. We're going to sing this a couple of times as our prayer. Let's say, Lord, let your face shine on us that we will be reflectors of your glory. Shall we do this? And let your face shine on us, that the world may know you live. Let your face shine on us, and let your face shine on us, that the world will know you live. All the heavens,
all the heavens shout your beautiful is our God. The universe will sing hallelujah to you, our King. All the heavens shout your praise. Beautiful is our God. The universe will sing hallelujah to you.
Take a moment just to absorb all this that's been spoken today, all that's been prayed for, all that's been sung. And with one heart, we will receive this prayer for benediction. Now, it's often prayed for at the end of Jude, this prayer that goes now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. But before I read out these verses, I want to read out the preceding verses of this for our benediction. Would you lift up your hands to the Lord? And it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Amen. And amen.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.